matter how many times I hear this story, see it played out, I can't help but be moved. Years ago, I was a heroin addict. I was a drug dealer, a robber, violent man, gang member. And it never started off like that. But that's how it was ending up. I was very familiar with scenes like that. Been in many different courtrooms from the Old Bailey onwards. Sometimes guilty, sometimes not guilty. And for me, there were more not guilties than guilties. But it was just a matter of time until that last one. And whether it had been a prison sentence or whether it had been a death sentence, whether it had been on the streets with a bullet or a knife or a needle, or whether it had just been continued onwards until one day I finally breathed my last breath and then the real sentence took place. It was just a matter of time. The thing is, for every single person that's ever been born, we have to understand that we're not living by accident. There's a purpose to every existence. There's a purpose to every life. There is a creation that takes place, and there is a creator. And he loves his creation, but something got in the way. Something gets in the way. Something separates his creation from him. And that thing is our attitudes and our actions. That thing is the things that we do and we don't do. The things we don't do, we should, and the things we do that we shouldn't. And all of these things are being recorded. Whether we like it or not. Whether we agree with it or not. Whether we agree that these things are things that should be judged and found guilty and passed sentence of death. Whether we agree or not, a law is a law. Whether you agree that driving at 37 miles an hour in a 30 mile an hour speed limit is enough to get you points and a fine, the law is the law. Whether you agree or not that parking on a double yellow line should get you a parking ticket or not, the fact is, the law is the law. Things are put in place that whether we like them or agree with them or not are there for a reason, and we must abide with them. And the law of life is that we live in a world created by someone with standards for reasons. And when we break those laws and we break those rules and we do away with those standards, whether we like it or not, or agree with it or not, the fact remains that judgment awaits. The message of the church from that first Sunday, when they got to the tomb and they found it empty and they found the body of Jesus missing, and then they saw him risen and living and walking with scars. The message of the church since then has been this. Paul wrote to a church in Corinth in Greece, and he said, I passed on to you what was most important, what also been passed on to me. It gets passed on. For 2,000 years, the same truth. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. This is where we're living now. This is the message that we have and that we share and that we live. Wherever it is that you've done, wherever it is that you've been, one day in the future, at some predetermined date, there will be a judgment. And if you think that some of the things that we were speaking about then and some of the things were a bit harsh and some of those things were judged a little bit harshly, look at what the scriptures say about what happens in those days. The book of Revelation, right at the end of the Bible, it talks about those that can come into the kingdom of God and those that are left outside. It said, blessed are those who wash their robes, they will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city and eat the fruit from the tree of life. But outside the city are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idol worshippers, and all who love to live a lie. That's pretty uncompromising stuff. But the fact remains that Jesus was born in the way that the Bible said that he would be born. He lived in the way that it said he would live. He died the death that it said that he would die. And he rose again from the dead according to what the Bible had said. If these things took place and that God knew that he needed to send someone to intervene on our behalf, it can only mean that if the resurrection happened, that judgment is a certainty. And that every single one of us will live and die and face judgment. And the fact remains that if we have broken even one of the smallest of the laws of God, then we are under the penalty that is prescribed for that, and that is death. And that's not just death as we die physically, it's also going to be a separation from life after death. And death will come eternally. If the resurrection is true, then there's some things that we need to do. If the resurrection is true and judgment is a certainty, and that there is a day fixed for that. Some people will say, well, how comes, you know, people get away with this and they get away with that? I know people that get away with that. There's no lightning bolts coming down out of heaven. They're not falling over dead. There's no one appearing to them. We serve a God of mercy, man. God is merciful. God is loving. God is giving people time to repent, time to change, time to turn. He's giving people time to make adjustments, to come to their senses. He's giving people time to think about these things. Just as I got away with many, many things back in my life, there was always going to be a time when it ended. And it is with all of us. He has a standard. We heard standards earlier. The man said, I have standards, but they were selfish standards. But God has a standard that is righteousness. It is the way that he has prescribed things to be done, the way that he wants people to live, that we're to love him with all of our hearts. If you've never done that, then you've broken a law. We're to love others as we love ourselves. If you've been selfish, you've broke the law. There are different things that we have done and haven't done that he said, do this or don't do that, and. But this judgment, if it's certain, what are we going to do about it? If you feel within yourself, you know within yourself, you've done stuff and your conscience has pricked you. You know that there are things that you've done, things that you've said, ways that you should have been that you haven't. You know it. It's in you. It's there. It's bugging you. And you try and put it aside. Maybe you cover it with drink or drugs or sex or money or power or fame or fortune or success, whatever it is, but you know it's still there. What shall we do about it? If judgment is certain, how can we escape it? Can you do more good deeds? We know that some people, they turn a new leaf. I'm turning a new leaf. I'm making a New Year's resolution. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to stop this. And sometimes people do stop things through willpower. Sometimes people can change the way that they live. But how can you pay your debt? Can doing one good deed wipe out a lifetime of bad deeds? Can doing one unselfish thing wipe out the weight of all those selfish things we've done? If we're waiting for that, if we're hoping for that, then we're sad indeed. Because it's uncertain, there's no peace. How can we pay the price for ourselves? So if that judgment is certain, there is a day that is set, there's a standard that we need to meet. And if we've fallen short of that, and the Bible says, all have fallen short of the glory of God, then what are we going to do? Well, we need someone that's going to be able to do what it is you saw in this drama today and pay the price. This might not be a message that you've come to hear. This might not be something that you wanted to hear. This might not be something that is spoken of very often. Many times you'll hear in church, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And what you're doing then when people are saying that is that you're standing as the judge and you're trying to say whether or not he deserves to come into your life. Maybe I'll accept him, maybe I won't, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe never. How many of you know that it's not about us or you or me accepting Jesus? That's not the question. The question is, living the way you've lived, will you be accepted by God? And if you know that you have done this, you have broken the law, and you have messed up, and there's no way to pay your fine, to pay your debt, you can't do it, it ain't about you accepting Jesus. Will he accept you? The only way we can be accepted by God is if someone paid the price. And I put it to you right now that there was a man by the name of Jesus, born in Bethlehem of the Virgin Mary, virgin birth, as the scriptures said, unlikely event, but necessary. He lived a life that was sinless and righteous, a life of total obedience to God, a life that brought good and light and life to everyone he touched and everywhere he went. And then, for no penalty of his own, he was killed by people that were afraid of him, that didn't want him to do what it was that he was going to do. And when he died, the Bible says that he gave up his spirit. He poured out his life. He poured out his blood. And in the moment of his death, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And then he said these words. He said, paid in full. The Bible says, one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I've got a son. I wouldn't give him for you. God did. That whoever should believe in him would have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world would be saved through him. The only way that we can come into this place of escaping judgment is through forgiveness. The only way we can realize forgiveness is through repentance. The word repent literally means change your mind, change your way of thinking, turn around, go in a different direction. Think about God differently. Think about your life differently. Think about your destination differently. And it all hangs on whether or not you believe in Jesus. Is he who he said he is? Did he do what he said he was going to do? If he did, you got a decision to make. You can't go through life just ignoring it. Because if you do, one day, you're still going to have to face the truth of it. But then you won't have a leg to stand on. Will God accept you? What are you going to bring? What can you present that is going to allow him to want to spend eternity with you? I suggest to you, the only thing we can bring is Jesus. The only thing we can bring is that we come with an advocate. We come with an advocate against the accuser. We come with someone who says, wait, they're with me. Wait, I paid for them. They didn't know they couldn't afford the ticket, but I paid the ticket. I paid the price. They're with me. And you might think that's simple. You might think it's stupid. You might not want to make a decision. You might not think that you have to. You might be afraid to because you are starting to weigh up all the things that you've got to change in your life. Listen, first things first. Don't worry about where you're going to live before you've got the price of the house. Don't worry about how you're going to do it before it's done. So today, it all hangs on whether you believe that Jesus is who he says he is. If you don't, then good luck. I offer you good luck in life, and I hope that you have good luck after it. Whether you think you're going to turn into a butterfly, or whether you're going to just sleep forever, or you know, you're going to come back as a tree or a frog or someone rich, good luck with that. But if you do believe, and if you've looked at it and you've weighed up the evidence and you've gone, you know what? What they're saying makes sense. I know I've messed up. I'm not perfect. And the thing is, if that's right, I'm in trouble. And you have to know the truth. And I have no apology for speaking a message like this today and speaking about judgment and speaking about the afterlife and speaking about the penalty. Because if no one has ever told you that before, then they've done you a misservice and an injustice. And I don't want that on my conscience, and I don't want that on my slate. I want to let you know that you're under judgment. The penalty is death, and the only way out is Jesus. And yeah, man, when you're saved, when you're set free, yeah, it's a wonderful life. It ain't easy, but it's simple and it's good and it's real and it's full. And you get power to change. When I became a Christian, I was injecting heroin in my neck. I'd been an addict for 10 years. I was selling £2,500 worth of heroin a day, plus kilos of ash, coke, carrying guns, doing mad things for bigger people, for money. And I never thought that I could change. And when my friend said to me, "Where are you going to go when you die, Paul?" I said to him, "Lee, I said, I'm going to heaven, man, because I'm not a bad person. I ain't a nonce, I ain't a grass." Because we have these mad concepts of what is right and what is wrong. But I was a thief and I was a liar and I was a robber and I would steal your eyes and cut off your head and leave it in a box if it meant something good for me. He said, "Brother," he said, "that's not how it works." He said, "Without Jesus, you ain't got a chance. You think this is hell? You wait." And straight away I thought, he said to me, "You need to change. You need to give Jesus your life, man. You need to repent. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to cry out for mercy." He said, "If you do, he will listen, he will hear. Doors open." Straight away, you know what I thought? I thought, man, I've got to change. I've got to get rid of my bird. I've got to, you know what I mean? I weren't a virgin. I've got to get rid of my girlfriend. I've got to sack my bird. I've got to stop taking drugs. How am I going to do that? It's like this great big elephant appeared. And I had to eat him. But how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And always start with a trunk, because it's less chewy. I want you to stand with your feet with me right now. This is not a courtroom, but it's not a holiday camp. It's a place where exchanges are made. Knowing what you know now, hearing what you've heard, being where you're at, I believe that God is touching people's hearts and He's touching people's lives and He's calling people to Himself. He's wooing people. He's drawing people. That's why you're here. And you haven't got to worry about the elephant. You just got to take the first bite. And the first bite is repentance. The word repent means to just change your mind and ask for forgiveness. And He will hear you. And He will forgive you. Because he's already paid the price. He's just waiting for you to come and get your ticket. So I want you to close your eyes, bow your heads. I want to pray right now. And then I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. There's going to be no secrets. There's going to be no manipulation or madness. If you know that you need to repent, if you know, if you fear, if you know, if you doubt, if you have any of those feelings going on, if there is guilt and shame about things that you've done and you say, hearing all that, you know what? I'm in trouble. Don't worry about becoming a Christian and singing Kumbaya and baking cakes and having to buy sandals and all that nonsense. That's not how it is. It's about walking free. Having your slate wiped clean. Having your name written in a special book called the Lamb's Book of Life that permits you entrance into eternity with God. And if your name's not down, you ain't coming in. Don't matter how good you are, don't matter if your parents are Christians, don't matter if your friends are, don't matter if you said boo to a goose or never even stolen a glance at anyone. The fact is, without Christ, there is no eternal life. So Lord, these are your people. These are the ones that you created, oh God. This is, Lord, a day of decision. This is Resurrection Sunday. It's a day of celebration. It's a day, Lord God, that we remember the victory that Christ won. He won a victory over the penalty of our sin. He defeated death. And He did it for every single man and woman that would place their trust in Him to be their Savior, to cry out and ask for forgiveness, to recognize and acknowledge the state that they're in, and to turn to the only Savior, Yeshua, Jesus, for forgiveness. Oh God, I pray, Lord, that there would be hearts in here that are ready for turning, hearts in here that are ready for repentance, hearts in here, lives in here that are about to come new, people that are going to step from darkness into light, change that's going to come, the beginning of a new journey. Lord, I commit them into your hands right now. Have your way. If that's you, and you say, you know what, I've heard all that. I didn't know what to expect. Or maybe you did. Maybe you've come knowing what you needed to do today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't put off till tomorrow what you need to do today. And if you need to repent, don't worry about accepting Jesus in your life. Just be grateful that God's going to accept you through Jesus. And if that's you in this place and you say, you know what, that's it. I've heard what you've said. I'm responding right now. I want you to come do something very, very brave, but it's something crucial that everyone that is ever going to enter into eternity is had to do. And that is to walk out from the place that they're in the darkness of sin and death, and to walk into light and to come openly and confess that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, to ask for forgiveness. And when you do that, an amazing exchange is going to take place. As we sing, I want you to come right out from where you're at. If you know that you need to give your heart and your life to Jesus right now, you come right now while we sing. And just come and stand in this place and let your life be changed forevermore. Let your sin be washed out. Let your life be changed. Let an exchange be made. If you walk out from this place and you've had this opportunity and you've had this offer and you've spurned it and you've turned away from it, then ask yourself the question, why? Is it that you don't believe, or is it that you won't believe? Is it too much of a price to pay? So you come right now as we sing. You come and give your heart and your life to Jesus. Coming all over this place.